Aaron Blake writes about politics for Washington Post. He joins us now on WGN Radio. Aaron, welcome back. How are you this afternoon?
It's good to be here. Thanks for having me. Doing well.
We try and interpret the president and follow him through his tweets. It appears as though he's still on that defense that this was, even if it was a big deal, and he hasn't said that it is, this is what all politicians do. Is that maybe the latest wrinkle to this story? What else are you hearing today?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a, like you said, that's an argument that he's been making for a while. I think that it's an argument that maybe is credible to an extent, but you don't have to look any further than his own nominee to lead the FBI, Christopher Wray, who last week, while he was being, giving testimony and being asked questions on the Hill, was asked if people who are offered information from foreign governments, what they should do with it, and he said that they should be reported. So I think that, the White House has offered a series of defenses of this meeting, which kind of ignore really important aspects of it, especially the fact that this was supposed to be a Russian government lawyer, information from the Russian government. Whether it was or not, that seems to be the intent behind the meeting. And so I documented several of the defenses that they put forward and kind of broke down each one. A lot of them take some liberties and really give some, require some suspension of disbelief to totally discount the story.
Give me an example.
Well, there was last week, the president was, he mentioned a number of times, he referred to Donald Trump Jr. as a good kid or a good young man. He referred to his age at several points in ways that seemed to suggest that maybe Don Jr. should be given a break because he's inexperienced. You know, Don Jr. is a 39-year-old man. He was as old as the president of France, which is the man who was standing next to. When he made that comment, he was standing next to a man who was, I think, 10 days older than Donald Trump Jr. Another one that was new this weekend, which I thought was pretty interesting, was from Donald Trump's lawyer, Jay Sekulow, who went on ABC's This Week and suggested if this was so untoward, why didn't the Secret Service say something about it? Well, it turns out the Secret Service wasn't actually monitoring and protecting Donald Trump Jr. at the time, so they would have had no actual role in authorizing people to come to Trump Tower and go to this meeting. So you just have to wonder, if these are the best arguments that are being put forward, that doesn't suggest that the White House and Donald Trump Jr. have a particularly strong hand when it comes to fighting back against this.
What plagues this administration is the lack of in-house communication. You know, I could see the attorney going, well, here's a good idea. I'll throw that out there without checking or anybody telling him, no, Don Jr. did not have Secret Service clearance at the time. They would not have been vetting the people that saw him. So while they could have Googled her to suggest that the Secret Service somehow dropped the ball or this was somebody else's responsibility just isn't a case in fact.
Yeah, it was just it's a puzzling suggestion all around, because usually these guys go on the shows and they've got a number of talking points that they want to use. This is obviously a lawyer, somebody who's used to the things he says in court being on the record and chewed over, and he chose to say something that really just didn't make a whole lot of logical sense. I think that's maybe one of the worst arguments that's been put forward here for the Donald Trump Jr. meeting.
Anybody else at that meeting today? The room keeps getting more crowded, but the last we heard was that former Soviet intelligence officer. Anybody else pop up there now?
Well, we haven't figured out who that person is yet. We got the Soviet intelligence officer, Renat Akhmetshin. That was the last one that was revealed. There was apparently a translator, and then we're trying to figure out who that eighth person was. I think another example of kind of the slow disclosure that's been coming out about this, they said they were being transparent by putting out these emails, and we keep finding out that there are details of this meeting that are new and that weren't released before. And so You have to wonder why they wouldn't just come clean and get all this information out there at one time to kind of put this story to bed, or at least put it to bed as much as they could.
It's just another dot that everybody's trying to connect, but I don't think we have anything all connected yet. We don't have a grand conspiracy. I don't think we have collusion. We have sloppy behavior, careless and callous behavior. But I don't know that we have it. If it is, you want a reason to charge the president with a crime or have his son deported. You know, I don't know what the end game is on some of this. And in fact, Aaron, go ahead.
If I could just respond to that real quick, I don't disagree with that. The idea that there's any kind of a firm legal case at this point, I don't think is conclusive. The argument that I've seen ethics and legal experts seize upon is the idea that this information could be construed as taking a contribution from a former a foreign government, rather, and that's what would be illegal about this. You know, collusion isn't technically a crime; it would be something more specific like that. And then the question is whether information is considered a contribution. And I think there's also a question of whether this information was valuable, which Donald Trump Jr. has said it wasn't. But that's the reason he's making that argument. And that's actually, of the six defenses that I went through, that was the most compelling of them, was that this information just wasn't of value, and thus it wouldn't be a contribution under campaign finance law. And so that's why they're making that particular argument. And I think that's why we can't say with any certainty right now that what happened was illegal in any way. There's just too many legal ins and outs about these kinds of things. And we're still learning a lot of details, of course.
Would you say then that was his good fortune, that there was no actionable material there to work against the Clintons? What if there had been? Then maybe they do have a contribution from a foreign government.
Well, you know, we're taking them at their word that they didn't actually get useful information from this meeting. We don't know that for certain. The last person who was found to be in the meeting, Mr. Akhmetshin, said that the information in the folder was indeed about illicit money flowing to the Democratic National Committee. There was not a major story about that. I don't remember the Trump campaign pushing anything like that during the campaign. So perhaps the information wasn't actually useful, but, you know, we're relying on the words of the people who were in this meeting to tell us that there was no useful information. And, you know, we just can't be too certain about that at this point. But that's, you know, that's the key right there is whether this was something that actually bore some fruit or not. And they say it wasn't.
One last thing I'll ask you to comment on, and that is at its face, I just believe it is what it is. That these are rookies. You know, Jared Kushner seems to be a pretty bright guy, but he doesn't know about Soviet intelligence. And I don't know what Donald Trump Jr. knows about. And yet there they are with this email that drops in their lap from a kind of a ridiculous concert promoter. And so they say, hey, let's take the meeting. And they take the meeting, and then it's a bait and switch, and they walk away. It my bet is, really is that simple. What do you think of that, Aaron?
It's totally plausible, and we don't have any reason to believe it was anything beyond that at this point, apart from the many other contacts with Russians that have kind of been, you know, delayed in being released, or the media has found out about them. You know, we don't know it's anything more than what you think it is. I would say that what the meeting does show is that whether it was because of inexperience or not knowing how to handle these things, it does show a willingness to engage in something like this. And you have to wonder if that suggests a willingness to engage in other behaviors that may be more conclusively collusion. But we don't have any evidence of that right now. The reporting is still going on. We'll probably find out more about this meeting, I would wager, in the coming days here. And the story just kind of keeps going, but there is no definitive proof right now. And you're right, this could have just been an isolated incident.
Although, what is so tempting, and I think we all need to pay attention to this, but also be resistant to this. But you remember Jared Kushner's idea about forming a back-channel communication using Russia's own offices or equipment back to the Kremlin during the transition? That was just so bizarre, but it kind of lines up maybe with what would have been happening in this meeting they had with the attorney and the agent, right? I mean,
that's another very good example of a willingness to do something that could be objectionable or seen as being in poor taste, you know. So there's a second example of them doing something or looking into something that is questionable from a national sovereignty standpoint. And so, you know, it's important that we all keep this in perspective as we report this story. It is a major story, and it is a story worth covering, even if there's nothing conclusive at this point. Obviously, it's something that investigators think is worth looking into, and so, you know, we keep chasing it. We keep, trying to figure out the next thing. Last week was a significant moment in this investigation, and now it moves forward.
Aaron Blake is a senior political reporter at The Washington Post. Sure appreciate your time this afternoon, Aaron. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Have a good day.